Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Yeah, the numbers tell the story, all right. Welcome into a numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serallo. Kelly, the numbers yesterday look pretty damn good, don't they? You hit your NBA best bet, 2-0 college hoops here. How about our guests? How about John Martin's night?
Don't call him John Fanta. John Martin. We're going, what, 5-0? 5-0? Yeah, he texted me that last night. He's like, yeah, John Fanta's picks did pretty well yesterday.
Comes on the show. Didn't know John Martin was coming on the show, but gives out five winners. What a night in college hoops. Really profitable if you tailed the show. And let's see if our guests can live up to the hype. Again, here on today's program, we've got a great first hour for you. Matt Cox from Three Man Weave going to join the show, break down some more college hoops action. Siya Najad will recap some football, look ahead to some golf with our friend from the Monumental Sports Network. It's going to be another good one here on A Numbers Game. Kelly, this NBA slate tonight is jam-packed. Every team in action, that's a rarity in this league. I mean, especially in the league of load management, like I call it. So we're going to have 15 games, quite the smorgasbord, if you will, to choose from.
Yeah, it is. It's well said. I do have a couple bets. I will caution people. I think last week this applied to as well. This week it applies. You had the trade deadline stuff that you were dealing with after, you know, a week and a half ago spills into last week, which is everything that comes out of that. And then we're heading into the All-Star break here. And it's, you never know where guys' heads are at. People are planning look, you're either in the All-Star game and it's a little bit business as usual, but you still get a couple days off, or Joe, you know, it's a nice vacation time where these guys don't get, you know, really a big break like this during the season. So there's a lot of vacation planning going on in locker rooms right now. It always concerns me. Memphis was a nice hit last night. I did bet that pretty big. I do have a few bets today, but all scaled back. And I would kind of recommend, unless there's something you really feel strong about, scaling back your bets these next couple days over the with the NBA.
You know, sometimes the worst thing that you can have is a slate this big, right? NBA 15 games. It's why people always say, oh, college hoops Saturday when you've got over 100 games. How much action do you have? How many games are you on? And I used to, I'm talking like when I was in college, I was a novice amateur better. Saturday would come, I'd have 15 college basketball bets. And then at the end of the day, I'd be like, well, I went 6-9 because I wasn't able to give all these handicaps the actual attention they deserve. Now I limit myself to one bet in each time window.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes that's the danger. You get so many games on the board and you're like, ooh, that looks good. This looks good. I'm going to take it's like a buffet. You know, you just fill up your plate. But at the end of the day, you feel like crap.
Yeah, Greg Hoops Peterson would call you soft, bro, because I think he rolls into a Saturday.
That's
with
why
about
he's taking my job on cashing out right now.
I'm pretty sure he rolls into Saturdays with about 108 bets. So yeah,
100 bets.
I don't even know.
Wouldn't shock me.
All I remember is Greg. Once upon a time, and this is probably like 6 years ago, I'm talking on a Saturday. I was doing a show with him, and he was talking through games and was talking about, yeah, I got a bet here. We go to break, and I'm like, Greg, like, you just said you've got like 9 bets or something. How many bets you got going? He's like, well, there's Saturday college basketball. There's about 120 games, so I'll have over 100 bets. I'm like, whoa.
Love the under in Tennessee Tech. Yeah, you know, can't miss that one.
Can't miss
Although, you know what? Greg has rubbed off on me because I'm looking at tonight's slate and I'm going, Robert Morris catching points in the Horizon League. They've been one of the best ATS teams in the country. No joke, I've actually been betting Robert Morris a ton this year. Over in the Horizon League. Don't have them tonight, but hey, what we had last night got home college hoops. Alabama -3 in Austin. It closed at 4.5. They win a resounding 20-point win. How about the way they shot from beyond the arc, Kelly? I don't know if you were locked into that because you had your Memphis bet to tune into. 17 of 29. From three-point land.
That's going to win you most games in basketball, especially at the college level. Yeah,
especially at the level where no one can really shoot all that well or all that efficiently. Then we got home SMU, 20-point win over Pitt. You know, I'm on a 3-game win streak college hoops since the Super Bowl just was an absolute bloodbath and decimated me. All three of those games have been decided by 20 or more. It's one thing to win 3 in a row. That's manageable, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm working in this industry. I would hope you can hit 3 in a row once in a while. By 20 or more, That is such a nice feeling to have three straight no sweat winners.
Yeah, it was. I did have college basketball, you know, lack of NBA games last night. So old TV number two was going back and forth to some stuff, Joe. But I did have Bama Texas on for a while, and I was like, wow, Joe's cruising to victory here. This is an easy one. And I had forgotten what your other play was. So I was like, yeah, I think you did go to it though. It was a nice
SMU,
night.
Yeah.
Nice night.
And then, you know, I always love when the games you talk about, the extra games don't get home, because it's like, all right, I'm glad that wasn't a bet. Like Syracuse lost to Miami. How do you lose to this Miami team? Their second win since the coaching change. They're like 2-20 their last 22. Yeah, I don't know how you lose to this Miami team.
That is weird, because historically, for everybody, I'm pretty sure, trend or leans are like 83% winners. That's what it feels like to me.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Lifetime, all the leans that I don't actually bet on, every one of them cashes.
Yeah, that usually is how it goes. NBA, we mentioned the jam-packed slate coming up. One of the games, one of the 15, a rematch, Detroit-Chicago. Normally in this spot, I would say, oh, you got a team at home, second night in a row. Both games are in Chicago at the United Center. Now they're catching more points than they were game one, 6.5. I saw a 7 out there. No-brainer, right? After getting embarrassed, you got to go back to them. I don't know if I can get there after that loss. 40-point loss to Detroit. I mean, that's one of the most embarrassing first halves I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was insane. I would say that I usually don't like to play these matchups, and there are I think there's a couple of them tonight where we're seeing the same teams in action in back-to-back games, because NBA playoff handicapping is so different than NBA regular season handicapping, and when you get these games that are set up like this, Joe, it becomes a little bit more of a playoff feel, right, of what, okay, you got time now to talk about what happened in that game, break down specific film that's not a month old or 2 months old, and can really dive into what you think you need to make adjustments with to get back at it the next night. So this is a game I'm staying away from. The injury reports, you're definitely going to want to check before this one too. But Drew liked the Bulls yesterday. It was a game where really didn't have anything on. They got smoked. That was over by halftime. But even that, it's hard to take too much out of a game when it's basically done at half. I think it was a 42-point lead at the half.
They had 29 points. They couldn't crack 30 in a full half.
Yeah, it was wild. It was wild.
In today's NBA, how is that even possible?
My initial thought would be like, well, okay, if a smart guy like Drew Dinsick liked the Bulls yesterday, for me, it was a little bit more of a coin flip. But now you're talking 6.5 points. It would be looking right back at Chicago.
You would go back to him?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Bulls are pass for me, but I just don't know if I can get it. It's probably going to be pass. 29 points and a half. Think about that. That'd be bad for the 80s. In today's NBA, where no one plays a lick of defense, I mean, that's just absolutely embarrassing.
Yep.
How about my Knicks? They weren't too embarrassing.
Yeah,
no OG,
good.
No problem, huh?
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I did get in, played them a little bit small before that game. They looked good against the Pacers.
Oh, you went pre-flop? I know, yeah. You said you were going to consider maybe live.
It was looking at just the injuries. When the injury stuff started to come down, and I saw Miles Turner got ruled out. OG, we expected. So it was played the whole, okay, Turner gets ruled out. You know this is going to affect the line a little bit, but it's going to go right back when OG Anunoby gets ruled out. That's what happens. Oh,
what did you get, 2.5? The same number we had in
exactly,
the morning?
Exactly, yeah. It was the same exact number. So
yeah. And then it doesn't help, or it doesn't hurt, rather. Cat has a 40-point performance. How about Josh Hart? 30 points, 10 boards. I mean, he's insane. He's also a guy who needs this all-star break. He's been a little banged up, and no one's really talking about it because he's always been one of those grinded out, tough type of players. But he's playing. He's got that rib, lingering, nagging rib injury going on. And a guy who's not known for his offense goes 12-16 from the floor.
Yeah, it's a great point. Some of these players that we just, for whatever reason, hold them to a higher standard when it comes to playing through injuries because we've seen them do it for so long, right? It's a great point by you, Josh Hart, because, yeah, you're talking about guys that need a break. He does. I mean, regular Tibbs stuff, right? The whole starting five needs a break because they play more minutes than anybody in the NBA. It's wild. I will tell you one betting regret from that game last night, though. I no problem. As soon as Miles Turner gets ruled out, my thought goes to bet the Knicks. Okay, because who's going to stop Cat? Except the follow-up there is, well, when, why aren't you betting Cat over props, which he obviously cashed easily, because as soon as Miles Turner gets ruled out, there's not a natural go-to defender for Carl Anthony Towns.
You mean Thomas Bryant guarding Cat doesn't scare you? That doesn't strike fear into your heart?
Exactly. And no, like, and even just beyond that, right, not even the one-on-one matchup, just how good of a overall rim protector that Miles Turner is for other guys getting to the basket. It, you move that out of the lineup, and it's a totally different story.
You know, a guy who usually doesn't play through injury, Joel Embiid, went out there for Philly. How do they forget covering? Because it was, what, 9 and a hook?
Yeah.
Did it close that? That's what it was during the show. I don't know if it closed double digits. Forget covering. They lose outright at home to a Toronto team that not too long ago was 1-15 straight up on the road. Now they're 5-21. Ooh, they're getting hot. Watch out. I mean, Embiid gives them 27-12, 38 minutes, and they can't beat the Raptors in Philly. This team's a mess.
So, okay. I almost hate taking time to talk about the 76ers, but quick bigger picture question here. After that performance last night, because I think that was the perfect example, Embiid plays. Embiid plays. And you lose to the Toronto Raptors. You're looking at the standings right now in the Eastern Conference. You are sitting in the 11th seed in the East. You're outside of the play-in tournament right now. You're 20-33. You're 2.5 games back of the Bulls in the play-in tournament. Yeah, you could get in there. Do you want to, though?
Plus 210 on DraftKings to make the playoffs.
To make the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah, that price feels... It's interesting. It feels baked in about what I'm about.
That's to survive the play-in, correct? When you're dealing with to make the playoffs, you got to be final eight.
Great point, Joe. Great question. Yes, if you are betting to make the playoffs, that means you have to survive the play-in tournament.
The play-in, you got to lay $5.
Yeah, lay $5.
Minus -525 on Philly to make the play-in.
Is there a no price on there? I don't even know.
I don't believe so. I believe it's just to make it.
Sixers, though, they got to start. I think they got to start thinking about what's the point of trying this season. You got aging veterans on this team anyways that could use a break. Joel Embiid's talking about needing knee surgery possibly at the end of the season anyways. Why are we trotting him out there for a team that's not going anywhere? And honestly, I think you should just be going into the tank at this point.
Yeah, I don't see him coming out of the play-in. I don't. They might not even make it there. We'll look ahead to tonight's NBA slate. On the other side, it's a numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirola.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game continues. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirola, taking you through your Wednesday morning and now taking you back over to the Progressive guest line as we get ready to welcome in Sia Nejad into the program, host and analyst for the Monumental Sports Network. Sia, it's great to have you on. How are you, man?
Very well. I'm actually a little depressed that football season is over, but good news. Every week we get a new slate of golf, so that's always fun. But yeah, I'm doing very well.
Second time, I think Sia is going to be angry at me about this, but, so Joe's filling in this week, right? Sia, so we're talking about guests, after the show yesterday, what we're going to be doing today. And we're going over some things and I'm explaining a little bit your background, and we're walking out of the sports book here at Circa, the beautiful, massive sports book with all the screens and front and center CBS HQ on. Sia's on. I'm like, oh, that guy right there. I'm like, sorry, I should have sent a picture and sent it to you. I think I did that the last time. And, Sia got upset with me.
Which brings us to an even more important question. Why the hell was CBS Sports on the big screen and not VSiN here at Circa? That's a question for another day. But see, you looked great. I will tell you. I saw you next to McKenzie. You guys looked great together up there. Let's dive into this Super Bowl, because we're getting more headlines coming out today. And obviously the game, I mean, you know, it comes, it goes. You spend 2 weeks talking about it, and now 2 days later, it feels like it's old news that you can't keep talking about it. But the new headline this morning, I was looking at Travis Kelce saying that he didn't do a good enough job motivating his guys, that he got too emotional. Of course, I mean, all you see at any network is Kelce on that play where Mahomes is scrambling and he's just standing still there. Now you look at the future of Kansas City, and they're a bit strapped in terms of cap space, still 7-1, second shortest odds to win the Super Bowl next year. But where do you see Kelce as a part of this team's future? What do you think the offseason holds for Kansas City?
Well, we'll leave it to Travis Kelce to try to grab some extra attention 2 days after the Super Bowl. Very on brand. I don't think he's going to retire. I don't have any inside information here. I do think he's going to give it another year. I mean, this Kansas City Chiefs team, I don't think they're the best team in the AFC going into next year. They might not even be the second best team in the AFC, but they certainly can contend for another Super Bowl as long as you have Patrick Mahomes and some of the pieces on this team. I think there's a lot of issues with this team, and you know, Travis Kelce's age is a small part of that. With that said, I mean, if I'm Travis, I'm sticking around. I think this is going to be a very, very competitive team. Obviously, they need to do some things in the offseason. They need to kind of fix their offensive line, which is like a major factor in the Super Bowl. I mean, as much credit as we want to give Jalen Hurts and the receivers and Cooper DeJean, I mean, this game was over before it started because of the defensive line. They absolutely dominated, and there was nothing Kansas City could do about it. So if they can shore that up, Travis Kelce and company might be enjoying another Super Bowl trip next year.
Yeah, this game was a bloodbath from the start. It was the Tampa Bay Super Bowl all over again. And what did Kansas City do? They shored up the O-line. They didn't get back there the next year, but then they rattled off two straight after that. Sia, one more question I got to ask you in regards to the NFL before we dive into some golf here. Aaron Rodgers, there's odds for his next team up on DraftKings. The Steelers at 2-1 are the favorite in that market. I don't know if you've seen what Deshaun Elliott just posted on social media with regards to Aaron Rodgers saying, quote, no. Leave his ass at the retirement home. Steelers safety, Deshaun Elliott. Where do you think Rodgers ends up next season? And do you think that there's going to be an issue of guys not wanting to play with him?
Well, that's pretty decisive from Deshaun Elliott. I wonder if he ran that by somebody, because Deshaun Elliott's a pretty bright guy. I kind of feel like if he said that, he might have had some backing from some Pittsburgh brass, because that's an odd thing to say if you're not sure if Pittsburgh wants him or not. Looking at these odds here, I mean, I think, listen, the Raiders are interesting. We know Tom Brady is, you know, Tom Brady kind of leading the charge there. If it's between like Sam Darnold for a long contract and Aaron Rodgers for a one-year deal, I don't know that I don't choose Aaron Rodgers in that scenario and just kind of go for it. Outside of that, though, I don't think there's a lot of suitors for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I think the Giants would potentially be in play for a year. San Francisco, not really. I saw those odds were up there. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that there's going to be a home for him. And I think this could end poorly from a PR standpoint, because he might be waiting on a phone call midseason because of an injury. And I'm talking next season midseason.
Yeah, I think that's probably most likely what we're looking at. I read a couple reports about the Titans being linked to him. I'm like, Aaron Rodgers is going to go play for the Titans? I don't think that's happening. So I think what Sia laid out, probably more likely. All right, Sia, let's switch to golf. Genesis Invitational going down this week. For those of you who are not covering golf or watching golf regularly, we have switched venues for this. We're going down to Torrey Pines South. We'll play all four rounds on Torrey Pines South because of the wildfires that took place around Riviera. So we will be going to Torrey Pines for this one. This is a signature event. So if you are playing one and done, everything, keep that in mind. 72 golfers in this field, big money cash prizes up for this. Top 50 in ties is the cut. It is that weird cut that we get with a couple of these signature events. Sia, before we get into everything that you played, just kind of big things that stick out to you about this tournament in a new location and things people need to know.
Yeah, new location, old location, in the sense that we just saw this at the Farmers a few weeks ago. But I do think the setup is going to be different in terms of it's going to be a harder setup. And I do think it's going to play longer. We know that there's a lot of weather coming that way, or actually probably underway at this point. It's going to be waterlogged to some degree. And that means you're not going to get the rollout that you would have at the Farmers. And I know some people that are course side, if you will, like Keith Stewart, for example, from Read the Line. And he's telling me that this is like a major setup, or at least that's how it's going to feel, which frankly leads me to some of the better players in terms of like the outrights. I'm not really going down the board, and to the extent I am going down the board, it would be in like the without Scotty and Rory McIlroy market, because I do think the way this is going to set up, the length you're going to need, the long iron play you're going to need, the around the green play that you're probably going to need, I think this is a big boy one.
Yeah, I'm with you there. We discussed this a little bit on Long Shots yesterday, by the way, up on YouTube, where you can get all your podcasts right now. Check out myself, Matt Brown, and Wes Reynolds breaking down the tournament. We were talking about the whole, okay, Scottie Scheffler or Rory, and it's just no knock on Scottie Scheffler, but is he fully back? And Rory, really impressive, I thought, at Pebble. I'll start right there with your card, my man. I see Rory McIlroy right there at the top.
Yeah, it's going to be Rory over Scotty. It is as much an odds thing as anything. Like, for example, if you had Rory at plus 400 and you had Scotty at plus 650, I'd probably be like, oh, I'll just take Scotty. And I'm not saying they're one in the same, but I do like Rory's tempo coming in. Obviously, we've seen him win. And as far as, I mean, tempo is a weird word to use, but it probably applies more to Scottie Scheffler. Like, I'm not sure he's fully back in automation mode like we normally see him. I could be wrong there. I mean, obviously, round four is the back nine of round four is sort of sticking out to me. And that could be nothing. That could just be his frustration in missing a short putt and then just crumbling down the stretch. But I do like how Rory sets up for this course. I do like for Scotty too, but if I have to pick between the two, I'm going to go Rory, because again, I think this is like a really good course fit for him. And I know he's probably in better form than Scotty in terms of Scotty's bar and Rory's bar.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Rory did rate out a little higher for me this week. Now, ask me if I'm betting a matchup with Rory over Scottie Scheffler. No, I'm going to stay away. I still got too much respect and fear for Scottie Scheffler. We do share one on here. Oh, share a couple, kind of. But Ludwig, I am on outright wise. Am I missing something here? I feel like we're getting a little bit of a price break on him because he had the tummy issues for a couple weeks. But, I mean, that was a couple weeks ago. I'm expecting a fully healthy Ludwig Åberg, and this is a course I think that lines up very well for him, and we're getting him kind of in a mid-20s price. Are you thinking along the same lines as me here?
I mean, if Ludwig never got sick and never had to withdraw from the subsequent tournament, we could be looking at 14-1 Ludwig Åberg here. You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, he's one of the best in the field. And if Rory and Scotty, you know, just have average tournaments, like, who's going to be the guy that's going to step up and take the tournament? Now, Ludwig doesn't close a lot. He hasn't won a lot, but he's also a young player, and we know the talent is there. I mean, I just think he's a great course fit. The fact that you can get him between 22-1 and 25-1, I don't want to say like it's a joke. Everybody should like lock it up because this is golf at the end of the day. But the long and short of it is he should be somewhere between 14-16-1, and he's not. So I'm going to grab the 22-25, and I'll throw in Robert McIntyre there too, because I think these hard courses, I think it is important to focus on guys that can get it done off the tee, which he can get it done with the short game and a proven winner. So at 45-1, I like him. And also in that without market, I would consider Robert McIntyre as well. Lesser odds.
Yeah, I like that. Bobby Mack, especially if we got some weather coming in. I like that play. You got a tournament matchup, Wyndham Clark over Cameron Young. I think that one makes a lot of sense. Gary Woodland, I keep betting and keep earning money on, but I love Gary Woodland this week as well. You're the first round leader, King. Want to hit that quick before we get out of here? Two on the card for you, my friend. Talk us through those.
I'll probably add a third. I mean, it's only a 70-person field, so I can't go 4 or 5 deep here. Yeah. But Robert McIntyre for sure at +4,000. Taylor Pendrith is the other one. Robert McIntyre is my favorite. Both of these guys go out relatively early. Taylor Pendrith at 35-1. I don't think Taylor Pendrith can win this tournament given this field, but he might be able to because he's really playing well. But I just expect him more to spike in a first round or in one round versus all four against this competition. So I like both of those guys. Again, I might add another one, but Pendrith at 35, Robert McIntyre at 40.
Thea, phenomenal stuff, man. Thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate you hopping on.
All right, gentlemen. A pleasure.
Thea Najad, make sure you check him out at the Monumental Sports Network. Great stuff there on the upcoming Genesis Invitational. And these NFL players not wanting to work with Aaron Rodgers. We'll dive more into that up next. I can't wait to see how this progresses. I personally love the fact that no one wants Rodgers on their team. More Numbers Game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serallo. Up next.
Numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
The whole new hour of A Numbers Game with me, Joe Serallo, alongside Kelly Bidlin. Going to have some fun here. Going to keep the great guests rolling later on in the hour with our own JVT. You catch him, of course, all the time on VSiN Primetime. I believe he's going to be doing some Follow the Money over the next 2 weeks while Mitch and Paulie alternate vacations post-Super Bowl.
He's bouncing around, an ultimate utility guy here at the network, JVT. Another John on today's show, so it's we'll make sure we'll have the right John.
Officer, you got the wrong John. JVT, he was bouncing around last week. He was one of the few. Was he the only one here at VSiN who went down to New Orleans for the Super Bowl?
Oh, no. I think we had probably 3 or 4 people down there, just none of them in a true VSiN capacity.
Right.
We just JVT piggybacked off of other people.
Doing a lot back there, you know. Jack of all trades, master of none. That's what we call JVT here at the network. He's going to join us in about a half hour, break down this locked and loaded NBA slate. Kelly, we alluded to it before in hour number one towards the end there. We've got some NFL players with odds courtesy of DraftKings for new teams. Deebo Samuel, Aaron Rodgers, of course, because who wouldn't want that in their locker room and in their clubhouse. But before we get to those guys, there are some rumors, and I don't know if we have official odds on this this specific cat yet, but Matt Stafford might be on his way out with the Rams. We know the team has already come out and said that they're going to look to move Cooper Kupp. After that happened, Malik Nabers on My Giants tweeted out the number 9, the number 10, and then a Rams emoji on Twitter. The tweet has since been deleted, but I mean, Stafford to the Giants, does this thing have steam? They did just hire his brother-in-law, Chad Hall, to be an assistant coach on the offensive side.
All right, now, but that is, like, that's the only nugget, right?
Malik Nabers wants it, so arguably your best player is asking
Malik
for
Malik Nabers wants a good quarterback?
Yeah,
I'm shocked.
Shocker,
I'm
right?
shocked to hear things like this. I don't think that's happening. There's still enough talent. What would be the reason for L.A.?
Well, the Rams want to unload Kupp.
Sure,
and
fine.
If that pisses Stafford off and he says, I want to go with him, and the Giants say, hey, we'll take them both off your hands.
I mean, they do. Are they still living in the same cul-de-sac together? Like, I think
up
that's
in
a
Thousand
thing.
Oaks?
Yeah, they're still like in the same neighborhood. So, you know, maybe. I mean, look, I think the Cooper Kupp thing, I'm going to guess even Stafford understands this. Like, you're not the same player even that you were a year ago, year and a half ago. Puka Nacua has clearly taken over as the number one guy there. He is a special, special talent. I don't even want to know where he ranks. If we just did wide receiver power rankings in the league right now, for me, like, he's probably a top 10 wide receiver. Might even be higher than that in the NFL.
I feel like he has to be, and I feel like he would come in somewhere in the 7, 8, 9 range, and he'd probably be underrated by coming in.
Probably. Yeah, you know, yeah.
When he is healthy,
well,
I mean, he is special. He's got phenomenal hands. I mean, you know, Kupp's thing was always his route running capability. Cooper Kupp at his peak ran maybe the crispest routes I've ever seen in this league. So Nacua, I don't know if his route running capabilities are right there, but one other thing Kupp always did really well was block. Nacua might be a better blocker.
Oh, he's incredible. He's a grass. The point is, there's a lot of young talent. We saw what that they did with the defense in the draft last year, wisely going out to Florida State and grabbing a couple of talented defensive linemen. There's so much youth on this team. We just saw them win the division. Gave the Eagles a little bit of a run for their money in the playoffs, and you've got a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I would be shocked if Matthew Stafford left that situation.
Yeah, it seems unlikely. It's just, you know, it's right now, football season's done, and it's an interesting talking point. I will say this, though. As a Giants fan, I'm torn, because part of me looks at this and goes, oh, my God, if they got Stafford and Kupp, and you pair Kupp with Nabers, that could be really exciting and really fun to watch. Stafford also gets rid of the ball quicker than almost any quarterback I've ever seen, and the Giants, for about the 9th straight year, have had an awful offensive line. So Stafford getting rid of the ball quickly there, you know, something Daniel Jones did the opposite of. Jones seemed to hold the ball forever.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe you can actually rattle off a few wins with Stafford out there. The other piece of me is going, I've already seen the Giants suck long enough. If they just give us one more terrible year, can we get Arch Manning? Just one more terrible year.
I think they absolutely can, Joe, especially how the rest of that division's stacking up these days. I mean, look, the Cowboys.
My goodness.
Now, however you feel about the Cowboys, they're going to be healthier. I mean, we'll assume they're going to be healthier than what they were last season.
You can't not be healthier.
Right,
yeah.
Well, let's assume they're healthier than they were last season. So they're a team that's not bad. No matter how you feel about them, I'm not talking they're going to go win a Super Bowl, but they're not bad. And I think you clearly got the Commanders and then, you know, the Super Bowl champions that are actually above the Cowboys. So, yeah, Giants stuck in the cellar of the NFC East. I think they could have a very easy time having a bad season next year. And Joe, over the next week and a half, we might have to get into this more, because it is, you Giants fans, I feel so bad for. Oh, gosh.
Oh, you shouldn't. I don't complain.
And then, like, the desperation, just the fact to even bring up a Stafford rumor, it's just like they were just grasping for anything. Please,
look,
give me
the
something.
Way I see it, man, I've gotten to see 2 Super Bowls very early on in my lifetime, including probably the best Super Bowl ever, the win over the undefeated Patriots. The Giants could never win another Super Bowl, and I'm lucky in that respect.
How did you feel about Eli getting snubbed?
It was ridiculous. That was atrocious. Eli Apps. I mean, look, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. To me, that's just those writers who go, oh, well, I can't let this guy be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but then they're going to vote for him next year. It's ridiculous.
That's what I said to him. Like, he's going to get in, so I don't even really know why it's a story, but writers get to make, or the voters get to make it a story by just, right, like, going out of their way to make sure he doesn't get in the first
year. Look, and this is a bit of a tangent here as we digress, but it's the same thing with the Baseball Hall of Fame. Like, these guys get all high and mighty, and half of them couldn't hit a freaking ball off a tee if it was right in front of them. And then they want to make Billy Wagner wait 10 years to get into the Hall of Fame. Look, I'm a John Franco guy. When you look at left-handed relievers, Franco, the all-time save leader for lefties, I love John Franco. Billy Wagner's the most dominant left-handed reliever of all time. At his peak, by the way, you want to talk about dominance? You want to talk about fear when a guy comes in the ninth inning? More fear in the eyes of a batter when Billy Wagner came in than Mariano at his peak. To make him wait 10 years, it's a joke. It's these guys getting all high and mighty because they got cut from the seventh grade team.
About a year ago, I tore a muscle in my calf muscle returning a punt, messing around with Gil and Matt after a show. I'm actually just sitting over here wondering now how well I would do hitting a ball off of a tee. You know, like we make fun of it, but like, it's not something I've attempted in, I don't know, 30 years or something. So,
we've got
that video quick. Oh yeah.
Does Matt have a boot? Is that what I'm seeing?
Matt was a former college baseball pitcher. There it is right there.
Well, I know Matt and I both played baseball, but I'm seeing he's got a little boot on him too.
Kelly with a little bit of a hitch in the giddy up, and it was a struggle. It was a struggle after that.
Is there more to come here, or is this?
No, that was the whole thing. He cut right to the injury.
Right to it.
How Isaiah?
Man down, sniper.
Yeah.
So no odds on Stafford. We do have odds on Aaron Rodgers, and great work there, Isaiah. By the way, pulling that one up, I needed to see that. That'll wake me up. You wanted more energy at the last commercial break. You told me, Isaiah. Now you're going to get energy out of me. We do have odds on Aaron Rodgers to go to the Giants, 12-1. I pray and hope and absolutely just can't imagine that this would ever happen. Steelers 2-1. Deshaun Elliott feels the same way I do. We just heard that quote from Deshaun Elliott saying, get your ass in the retirement home. I mean, that's a pretty profound statement, would you say?
Yeah. You know what my initial reaction to that was, though? It's the, man, way to punch up, right? Like, way to get your name in the news cycle along with Aaron Rodgers by making a statement. Because you were CSN. I don't even remember. Maybe you want to check in with old Mike Tomlin before you go and blast a player like that, a Hall of Fame level quarterback.
Yeah, that was CS line. Look, I mean, it's a hell of a statement to make. I agree with the sentiment wholeheartedly. I think this guy's a cancer anywhere he goes. This Jets team this past season had way more talent than their record would indicate.
Oh.
And then you look at what happened with Robert Saleh getting canned and the coach firing. And I think that was completely orchestrated by Rodgers. I think the issue there was the offense. At the time when Saleh was there, their defense was performing. They struggled week one against the Niners, and then their defense got on a roll. And even you look at the loss to Denver, right? What was it, a 10-9 loss? That loss was not an indictment on the defense. Therefore, it was not an indictment on Robert Saleh. And they wanted to move on from Hackett and make the change because the offense was abysmal. And they go to London to play Minnesota, and Aaron Rodgers throws three interceptions, including one on a drive that should have been the game-winning drive in London at the end there. And Rodgers blows the game. And there's rumors and murmurs that they want to move on from Hackett. So Rodgers steps in, gets Saleh canned. I mean, I think the guys stopped playing because they realized that it was Rodgers' team. It wasn't Saleh's team. It wasn't their team. I don't think you saw the best out of Breece Hall.
No, I don't think you saw
the best out of Sauce Gardner. I think that a lot of the key players, Gardner, Hall, Quinnen Williams, who can make up a playoff caliber team, weren't in it because of Rodgers.
I think it's pretty obvious. The Aaron Rodgers' situation was not just a disaster, but you set back. When he came in, there was a lot of bright spots on young players on that team and what their future could be. And all we saw was basically those players all get pissed off during the Aaron Rodgers era there. So who knows how that's going to affect the future of the Jets. Getting back to these odds, let's just run through these team by team, Joe. I agree with you, Steelers. They're the short shot 2-1. I don't really think it's
a Mike Tomlin fit.
Yeah, organizational fit. I just don't believe in it at all. Okay, Raiders 3-1, I think, is worth a discussion. Let's maybe get back there. What am I missing on some of these other teams, though? Niners? matter how what you feel about Brock Purdy, they're going to stick with him, right? Vikings just drafted a quarterback last year. There has been reports out there about the Titans. I don't understand that one at all from Aaron Rodgers wanted to go there. The Colts still have a young quarterback that they're still at least got to figure out what's going on with. I don't see them bringing in Aaron Rodgers. Rams have a Super Bowl winning quarterback, as we just discussed. Then there's your Giants we just talked through.
Oh, he ain't going to Cleveland. Give me a break.
I would think that
like Aaron Rodgers
Miles
wants to go
Garrett's
to Cleveland.
Trying to get out of Cleveland. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is running to go to Cleveland. So I guess my whole point here, I think the Raiders are actually an interesting team. But then we're talking, if you actually wanted to bet into this market, I think there's probably some teams that are more live that are way longer odds.
Like teams not on the board.
Yeah, teams that are not on the board. And DraftKings has every single team listed. So I think you could go take a look at these and maybe make a case for a better situation than what we're seeing with a lot of these shorter shows.
Well, we'll have to circle back. It's not a long shot. It's not the sexiest number, but I think 3-1 Raiders makes too much sense, especially with Brady there.
Me too.
If they don't get Shador, if they don't trade up and get Sanders, I think Rodgers is a near lock, I'll say. More numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo. Up next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game continues. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo, taking you through this Wednesday morning. Kelly, we've got some golf this weekend. You caught me off guard with this bit last time. I didn't know what was coming, and we're getting tweets about me looking like a bartender at a country club. But now I'm fully prepared for it, so let's go country clubbing.
Yeah! Don't get the toss in. I like it. Dude, we're going to need to set up like the picture in picture sort of thing, Isaiah.
So we can get the dance
moves right, exactly.
That
so we can get Joe's dance move involved as well.
This is how I felt at Stadium Swim on our on our Super Bowl coverage when I had no shirt, the suit jacket on, and I was in the pool going.
Oh, man. I bet you did. I bet you were styling out there. How packed was that actually on Sunday?
You know, it was my first experience for the Super Bowl, so I thought it was a good crowd. I was told last year's crowd was actually better.
Okay.
But unfortunately, I mean, that's kind of that's the entirety of the city. I've heard that this was a down year for Las Vegas terms of Super Bowl traffic.
It was really weird. I'm sure there's some smarter guys out there that know better explanations than me, but everybody I've talked to thought it was down, and then you looked at you saw hotel rooms.
$30 rooms.
Yeah, I mean, you saw room prices going around, and I was crazy. I do think there's something to Super Bowl weekend has gotten too expensive here in Vegas, and it just rules out a bunch of people. I mean, when we're talking about reserving some of these tables and spots to watch the games, it gets really pricey. So, all right, in transitioning after we just played a country club and open. There we go.
Well, can we get the music going at least? I mean, you got the picture in picture. I'm not dancing if there's no music, guys.
I love breaking down the B-roll because who's the actors in the background? Yeah, there you go, Joey. There we go.
I'm auditioning for the next Legacy Club commercial.
That's right. Yeah, you might make that. I don't think I'm not stylish enough to make
that. Are you already in one of the Legacy
Club
commercials?
No.
You're not in that one? It's got Femi and Dustin. You're not?
No. Not stylish enough.
Maybe
that was cool.
Wishful thinking. Yeah. Speaking of the Legacy Club, folks, you can check it out. VSiN fans, it's time to plan your Vegas getaway. Circa Las Vegas owner Derek Stevens is offering 15% off at three incredible properties: Circa Las Vegas, the D Hotel, and the Golden Gate. Whether you're lounging by Circa's stunning rooftop pool, Stadium Swim, can't beat it, or enjoying all the excitement Vegas has to offer, you'll save big with the promo code VSiN15. So book your stay now, CircaLasVegas.com. Use that code VSiN15 to get 15% off. Your Vegas adventure starts here. Kelly, Genesis Invitational, you broke it down with our guy Sia in our number one a little bit. We obviously got Sia's best bets. What are you in agreement with him on? What are you maybe going a little different direction from him on?
Yeah. A couple I am in agreement with him on, and then a couple in a different direction. Just I want to circle back to a couple of the big things about the tournament. Again, this is a signature event. We usually see this played in the LA area. They decided to move this a couple weeks ago because of the wildfires out there. Think that's completely understandable. They went to decided to move it to Torrey Pines. They're going to play all four rounds on Torrey Pines South. That is important to keep in mind because that is not what we usually see the setup for Farmers Insurance Open. So if you're doing any of your own golf handicapping at home, important note for that. Okay, this is a signature event. 72 golfers. It is one of the couple signature events that does have a cut. So it'll be top 50 in ties, plus if you're within 10 shots, I think that means. So, Joe, how big of a cut is it going to be? it's going to be the bulk of the players that are starting actually make it to the weekend. So keep that in mind. If you're looking at make miss cut prices and they seem off to you, that there's a reason why. Again, if you're playing in one and dones this week, there is big time money on the line for this one. So you're going to probably want to use one of your bigger golfers. Also, a lot of the reports about the course itself, Torrey Pines South plays tougher than Torrey Pines North to begin with. And we're hearing a lot of reports about this being a little bit more major level conditions out there. This is already one of the tougher courses to play in the country, but the rough has grown out a little bit more. We've heard and seen some videos about that. Here was one that Ben Griffin took the other day just to show, hey, go off the fairway. This is what you might be dealing with.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, rough-wise for the weekend. So I do expect some tough conditions, and throw on top of that some weather that is looking pretty ugly throughout the weekend. We talked to Sian Ajad. I know he was talking, targeting some early round guys on Thursday, tomorrow for first round leader bets. I think that's smart. It looks like conditions will be a bit calmer tomorrow morning, but they really do pick up wind wise in the afternoon. We're looking at 15, 17 mile an hour consistent winds and then gusts up to about mid 20. So that will affect things. Friday, Saturday, Sunday right now don't look as bad. Friday, they're still up there with gusts, but weekend doesn't look as bad. But just keep in mind, right on the ocean here, that stuff can always change. Okay, as far as the field goes, we do have Scottie Scheffler as your short shot this week. No surprise, 4-1. This is best field we've seen in the PGA Tour so far this season. Rory right behind him, plus 650. Colin Morikawa 16-1, JT 18-1, Hideki Matsuyama 22-1, Ludvig Åberg 22-1. These are over at DraftKings right now. Patrick Cantlay 30-1, Rasmus Højgaard has been playing some great golf, 35-1, Tommy Fleetwood 35-1, Sung Jae-im 35-1, everybody else 40-1 or longer. Okay, just when we're talking Torrey Pines, this is a course that is going to test you off the tee. You got to be long off the tee is very important here. Sets up your approach shots that are tough into small greens, tough approach. Need to look at good long iron players. Need to look at guys that are long off the tee. Because of the rough that we're hearing about, I'm even factoring in accuracies and more of a premium this week than I did just a few weeks ago at this course. So we've seen this be a tough accuracy course because fairways are not all that wide. We're talking about 28 yards. However, it hasn't been that penal in the past if you do miss the fairway and end up in the rough. I think what we just saw from that video of Ben Griffin, I expect playing out of the rough to be a lot tougher this week.
You know, weed whacker.
Yeah, exactly.
That was insane.
Exactly. And look, this is a Farmers Insurance already a tournament where we've seen guys that have come to this course that win here are usually higher quality golfers. 26 of the last 31 winners heading into the Farmers had four previous career wins. Harris English adding on top of that stat, 20 of the last 23 winners had played at least six Farmers Insurance Open events. So you are looking for some guys that have a little bit of course history here. I also guys, though, that just play some of these major level courses and tougher courses. Those are the guys I think you need to be looking at. As far as my bets for the week, four outrights for you. I do agree with C. It's probably going to be one of the bigger names that we see win this event this weekend. I started my card with Morikawa. Anybody that's been following my golf stuff, I am locked in on Morikawa, waiting for him to get back in the winner's circle. This is a great spot for him. He usually putts well on Poa Greens, has played well here before in the past. He missed a cut last year at the Farmers, but third in 2023, T21 in 2020. Only seen him a couple times so far this year, but that's a T17 at Pebble and finished second place at the Century. So plays tough course is great. We see all that. He might not be the longest off the tee, but he hits irons and long irons incredibly well, has good enough around the greens play here, I think, to make a difference. And we saw that really play out with Harris English getting his win a few weeks ago. We've seen over the years at Torrey Pines around the green play and scrambling become a little bit more important. So Morikawa, top 10 and an outright for me on him. Talked about Ludvig Åberg with Sia Najat a bit. I'm in and on an outright with him and then a top 20 bet on Ludvig. I expect to see a guy that he looked incredible early before he got sick. I think we're getting a little bit of a price discount on Ludvig Åberg this week. So this is more of a price play for me, but this is a course. He doesn't have a ton of history yet because he's still a younger guy, but his game sets up perfect for this course. So 28-1 on him in the top 20, was able to grab a minus 120 at. And then a couple longer shots. Daniel Berger, I didn't back up with anything else. Berger 90-1, Woodland 120-1. These are guys that just off the tee ball striking stats are rating out very highly for me right now. And Berger, I got a soft spot for him. Love covering him in South Florida. Really don't want to miss out on if Daniel Berger gets in the winner's circle here. And then Gary Woodland. I've played a lot of Gary Woodland. I played him last week. He just finished outside the top 20 for me, which stung a bit last week. But I'm going back to him on an outright this week and then a top 20 bet. He has still played consistent golf this year. T21 at the Waste Management, T22 at Pebble, T16 at the Sony. It is three starts this year on the PGA Tour. I think Gary Woodland's going to pick up a win at some point this year.
All right, so Kelly, my question is, and it's nothing with any of the guys that you've got plays on. You said that you've got to essentially drive the crap out of the ball on a course like this, right? Isn't that Zalatoris's game? Doesn't he have a great driver? I'm seeing him at 45-1.
Yeah.
Should he be a little shorter than that? Or is this a kid who was kind of a flash in the pan? He came and went.
So I did bet. I bet him when they at the Farmers here. I think he's still a good fit for this event. His game, great ball striker. He's another guy. I'm kind of like Morikawa, long irons. He is one of the best with. So when you're looking at those 175 to 200 plus yard ranges, he's one of the guys that rates out highest there. I'm still giving, after a few weeks ago, I did bet him at Farmers when they were here.
Okay.
I'm going to give him a little bit more time, but I don't hate that play at all this week. Couple of the other bets that I did make outside of outrights, Minwoo Lee, I played him last week as well. Another guy, he finished one shot out of me cashing a top 10 on him. I'm going back to top 10. It's a worse price this week, but plus 360. He's great off the tee and great around the green here, around the green, Joe. Approach game, not as awesome. Would love to see that step up, but he's clicking in the spots that are going to matter at this course specifically, off the tee and around the green. And then top 20s, Shane Lowry, I played a few weeks ago. I still think you're getting a good price on Shane Lowry, a guy who can play through tough conditions if it becomes that. Adam Scott played a top 20 on him as well, plus 175. And then Tommy Fleetwood, didn't think I was going to get involved with, but a good price, I think, in the top English golfer market, plus 125 on him.
I didn't even know that there was a market for that. Top English player. Amazing. Morikawa, I like that price, top 10.
Yeah.
That is a really good price. NBA with JVT up next. It's a numbers game with Joe Cirillo, Kelly Bidlin.